9 p.m. on Wednesday. Thank you for joining us. Really appreciate it. I can tell I've been Detroit River. My hands are shot. They're a bunch of poke holes. I've got a little bit of line cuts on the grooves of my fingers here from pulling out. You know, you catch a fish, you get snagged, you tighten that drag a little bit, and then you forget to loosen it, and you go to pull some line out, and the line stays still, and your finger keeps going. So I've got some cuts on the side of my finger. I've got some blood things going on in my finger. We all know how walleye fishing is, right? Mostly my fingers have been frozen more than anything this year. We're going to talk about that in the second part of tonight. So thanks for joining us. Appreciate you kind of finding us on a goofy time. So let's get right into what we want to talk about tonight. So tonight I want to talk about Detroit River plastics. You know, it's funny. It's against the law to take minnows over to Canada, and there's been some controversy with some people taking some minnows over, some charter people taking minnows over, some tournament guys taking minnows over. You know, I'm not gonna get involved in that, but it is actually against the Canadian law to take live, dead, salted, preserved, any live bait over, even leeches or crawlers. So, you know, plastics become a big deal. Now, as you know, we've talked about this a lot. I haven't bought a minnow on the Detroit River in, you know, 12, 13 years. I just honestly, really, every day, I don't think it makes a difference. I think you can do the same thing with adding a little bulk to your body. ProCure, again, big thank you to them for sponsoring Coffee Hour Plus. But we've been using ProCure on all of our stuff just about every day on the plastics. And I feel very, very confident that 99 days out of 100, I can catch them just on plastics. Now, saying that, it's important that we get the right plastic. So you can't just grab a piece of plastic and throw it on there. So let's kind of talk about what we are talking about here when we talk about plastics for the Detroit River, right? First thing is to make sure you choose the right plastic. That's extremely important. Concentrate on size, shape, and the fall rate first. When we talk about fall rate, remember the skinnier and thinner, like this worm, that a body is, the faster it's going to fall back to the bottom, and it's going to fall basically straight down. As the bodies get bigger and we get into the jerk minnow, we get into specifically the disc worm and big paddle tails, they fall slower and they don't fall straight down. They actually kind of fall back downstream a little bit because they actually get hung up in the current and kind of fall different. That fall rate and that fall angle is huge. You're better off to get the right size, shape, and fall rate than you are to get the right color. We'll talk about color here in just a second. Next thing is make sure you carry multiple shapes and start the day with multiple shapes in the water. So this time of year, I have a disc worm on, one or two people. Everybody else has the jerk shad. I'm not a big worm guy this time of year. I think worms fall too fast for this cold of water when these fish are a little lethargic. Worms are great when the water temperature gets up 50, 51 degrees and you want that jig just really aggressive falling. But right now, I like the jerk shad and I like the disc worm. And then if we want to go for some bigger fish, some shallower water, or the bite's off a little bit, I'll actually go to a paddle tail, either a paddle tail shad body with a big paddle tail on it, or the cane thumper, that bigger 4.5 inch bulky plastic. But right now, our best shapes have been the disc worm number two and the jerk shad, the jerk minnow, 4 inch jerk minnow with a split tail has been our number one shape without question. But make sure you've got some shapes, different shapes in your boat, and then get the shape right again, get the shape right before worrying about color. Now let's talk about color. You know that I'm not a huge believer in color, but I do believe that color makes a difference after you get everything else right. So once we get the fall rate right, we're in the right location, we've got the right body shape, then we can start dialing in on color. And today was a great example. We've been catching fish on shad bodies with a solid black body with a chartreuse tail. That has been probably our best all year. We had that on today in the clear water before the sun got too high. And we were catching fish in that perfect green water. We were catching fish on the black with the chartreuse tail. Now, sun came up, wind died down, that water was too clear. So the black actually turned off and we had to actually go out into dirtier water each pass. And as we went into dirtier water, the colors changed. Believe it or not, even in the stained water. And some of it was, I would actually call it chalky. It was kind of a grayish color a little bit. It was green, but there was, it was kind of some gray mixed in. Then what happened is light colors became good pearls. Dean tossed us a pearl, jerk shad that he was catching them out with some silver fleck. That was awesome. Emerald Shiner, sour grape, the purple with the green that we make was awesome. Blue Bling, our Blue Bling was really good today in that little bit chalkier water. But again, the sun was up. So colors do change. So don't be afraid to change, right? Don't have everybody start. Now, again, like I told you, black with a chartreuse tail has been our number one color the last 3-4 days. I started today with pearl white. You can't be any more anti black body than you are with a solid white body. And I caught a few fish early. The black was really good. I didn't change. I kind of worked through the process. I went to watermelon gold, caught a couple fish, then I changed again. And then when we got out in that dirtier water, it looked to me, the right color was Emerald Shiner or our sour grape, whatever you want to call it, that purple in the green mix. And we got a little tip from Captain Justin from Always in Adventure Charters. He was catching them on Blue Bling. We put a couple Blue Blings on and things just, once you got those light bodies on, things just went crazy. So that's just something to kind of think about, right? Color is important after you get everything else right. Al says he ran both those today. The discworm was preferred. I didn't run any discworms today because I got to be honest with you, the last 3 days, as cold as it's been, my goal has been to get out, get back. I wasn't worried about experimenting. I wasn't worried about fun fishing. It was get our limit and get back to the dock and get somewhere warm as fast as we could. So some of the experimentation we do, we just haven't done the last couple of days because it's been so darn cold. And when you're out in it every day, it becomes a big deal. We'll talk about that a little bit later tonight. Okay. All right. So there's our four shapes, the worm, the jerk shad, the disc worm, and some kind of paddle tail. Make sure that you have those in your box. Make sure you have those different shapes. Make sure you've got a multitude of colors. You want some clear stuff, some light stuff. You want some solid black, some solid brown, some solid green, maybe like a motor oil or a green pumpkin. Our camo is always a favorite of mine. You want some white, you want some gray, you want some green, watermelon gold, watermelon red, two of my favorites. A June bug is a purple. You know, you want 10 or 12 different shades because it does make a difference, right? The beauty of plastics is they're pretty inexpensive. You can buy a 50 bag of plastics for, you know, not too many dollars. So make sure you've got a good assortment of shades of colors in each one of those shapes. It'll kind of help you. What I do is just a little caveat here. I use the deep 3700 boxes. So the plain old 3700s, the bigger boxes, but they're deep. And I can get 12 different colors in a box. So I put the dividers in. So there's three sections in each row. There's four rows. That's 12 sections. And I fill them right up with a color. I fill them right to the top. So I have two boxes full of worms. I have two boxes of jerk shads, two boxes of disc worms, and a box of paddle tails, which is going to grow to two boxes because we've had some colors that have been good this year that we haven't used in the past. So we'll be adding to that. But that's how I store my stuff, is in those deep 3,700 boxes. That's just how I keep my stuff easy to get to, easy to see, easy to sort through, easy to grab what you need. Okay. All right, those are the four shapes we talked about. And again, you can kind of see starting on the left is the fastest fall rate and the straightest drop or fall angle. Then as we move our way to the right, a slower fall rate and it falls downstream is the fall angle. So you can kind of see how I have those sorters. Obviously the worm, fastest faller, straightest faller, the big paddle tail with a lot of resistance, the slowest faller, moves a little bit downstream, and then we've got the jerk shad and the disc worm kind of in the middle of both of those, kind of a medium fall rate and a little bit of a drift downstream. And all that's pretty important, right? And that really does, it actually affects your boat control too, because if you're fishing a disc worm, you've got to watch your line being vertical different than you do if you're fishing just a straight worm. So it definitely affects the boat control just a little bit, to keep everything vertical and keep everything going. Again, The guy in the front, the further you are up front, the slower your bait should fall. The further you go to the back, the faster it should fall. Because remember, if I'm vertical with a slow falling bait, chances are really good you're more vertical with a bigger jig and a smaller body falling faster. So slowest fall rate in the front, fastest fall rate in the back. That just helps everybody stay vertical. Just something to kind of remember as you go about setting up who's going to try what in the morning. Okay. All right. Any questions on any of that stuff? That's a quick rundown of the plastics and kind of how I use them and kind of how I think about them. Any questions on any of that? I'd love to hear any questions, any comments you guys have, anything you have seen, anything that you have tried different. What can I help you with? We'll take a few questions and see if we can get you guys dialed in on plastics. Any thoughts on any of that? Any colors that are working better for you? Anything that you're kind of have questions about? Let me know and we'd be more than happy to get you dialed in on plastics. All right, let me know what we can do for you. We're going to kind of move this along because it is 9 o'clock. I am very tired, as I'm sure you. Ronces, can you talk about the jigs that you match with those plastics? Sure, Ron. You know, we use our jigs, our thump jigs, which will be coming available again probably by the end of summertime. So we're working on that. But, you know, the thump jigs are, you know, that's our favorite jig, right? Our second favorite jig, I've been using some of Roy Miller's stuff at Fat Boy Jigs. Great stuff. I can't give Roy enough kudos for the quality of his jig, quality of his paint job. So we've been using some of those, especially in 1 ounce. We've been using some of his jigs too. But, you know, get a good jig that's designed for river fishing. Like I said, the Fat Boy jig, his river jig, you know, obviously our thump jig is kind of our favorite. But if you can't find our stuff, Roy's stuff is absolutely awesome. 3/4 ounce in the front, Ron. The guy controlling the boat, everybody else with 1 ounce, and away you go. Greens have been really good the last couple of days. I think I've got antifreeze and or green on 3 of the rods. And then Roy makes a really cool gold jig that we'll talk about next week. He makes a really cool gold jig that's been really, really good for us. So. But greens have been, you know, when I go by the other captains and see their rods, green jigs right now, green chartreuse. So this is, you know, this is lime green here. I don't know if you can see the differences in shades, but that's a lime green. This is green chartreuse, which is a cross between yellow chartreuse and lime green. And then actually Fire Tiger has been good, you know, lime green with chartreuse and orange has been good. So anything with green has been really good this spring. Jason says, does adding a minnow benefit more by increasing the size of the bait or increased scent? I think it does both, Jason. And here's why I'm not too worried about putting minnows on, because I can do that same thing with plastic. So if I think a minnow is going to help, it's going to do two things. It's going to do three things. It's going to bulk up my body. It's going to slow the fall rate and it's going to increase scent. Okay. Well, I can carry stink in a little bottle this big and I have to keep it alive, right? Procure never dies. Smells like it's dead, but it never dies. So a little shot of Emerald Shiner if you want to fish an Emerald Shiner. You can bulk your body up a little bit, go to a little bit bigger size body. That's going to fall a little bit slower like you would if you add a minnow. And I actually know some pros who actually will take a worm, fish a worm, and then take like a jerk minnow and actually hook it onto the hook like a regular minnow to actually imitate that double look that a minnow gives you, put a little bit of scent on it and go fishing. So minnows do all those things. They increase the size, they increase scent, they slow the fall. You can very easily do that with plastics, a whole lot easier than you can trying to keep live bait alive. Gary says, do I have worm boxes available for sale? I don't, Gary, but you can get those in. The box I use is just, it's a 3,700 deep. When we get everything back, when we get our inventory back and we get rolling again, we do put together a Detroit River kit that has an assortment of jigs and plastics. That's probably not a bad idea, Gary, kind of headed into summer for next year. I think that is a awesome idea of maybe putting together a box of each body shape with our favorite colors and selling the box ready to go. I like that idea. Don't have any right now, but I do love that idea, Gary. Joe says, with the way you store your plastics, you have no problem with the dry knot. I do not. I've got some plastics that have been there for a couple of years. You put them in the bottom and they just kind of stay there and they never work to the top. And they definitely don't dry out. And today's boxes, of course, are, you know, worm proof. So, you know, the plastic doesn't eat them like they used to. If you guys are old like me, you probably remember you put a couple of plastic worms in a plastic box. You come back 2 days later and there'd be a hole eaten in the bottom, of your plastic tackle box from all that stuff on the worm. So there's Mike. Mike says camo disc worm all day. And I know it because he buys a lot of them. Dave says, how long do you wait to change color? I usually start the day with two or three colors on, and usually different ends of the spectrum. Like today was perfect, right? We had black with a chartreuse tail on about on three of the rods. I had a pearl, so a complete bright white on mine, and then I had somebody with a camo on. So we kind of had those, the dark, the light, and kind of the middle covered. And once we start to see a preference, we change. And again, this all goes back to, this is the same question I get a lot when I'm trolling. How long do you stay in a pot of fish, right? If I'm going over fish, and today was a great example, we kept moving as the sun came out, we kept moving over into that dirtier water, and we kept seeing fish on the side scan. And I made the comment today, I says, you know, and every once in a while you'd feel your jig kind of rip up the side of a fish, right? And I told the guys, I says, we are not leaving because I want to be right here when these fish decide to bite, because they were all over the side scan, they were all over the down scan. You could see a couple on regular sonar and you were ripping your jig alongside. And I'm like, I'm not leaving, because when these fish start to bite, I want to be here. And I'll be darned if it wasn't 35 minutes later, they started to bite. And we went from 8 to 38 in, you know, a pass and a half. So again, using your sonar, seeing how they react. If you're on fish and they're not reacting, you know, change one person to something different. And then if that starts to roll, then you kind of change everybody. But start with different options. You got two people in the boat, a black and a white are a great option. Then you kind of work from there. So somebody starts catching on black, you don't go right from white to black. Maybe you go from white to watermelon gold. And then if that doesn't work, you go from watermelon gold to camo. The guy still catching on black and you put camo down and can't catch him, it's time to go to black. But play that game where you're going. You know, I would tell you, if it's just two of you guys in the boat, you know, rig up two rods, rig up a dark and a light for each guy, and just kind of, you know, different light and a different dark for each person. So you got four different shades and just keep rotating, and you'll find something that works. So I change my color a lot. I keep my customers on a color that is working. So that's kind of how I do it. Ray says, is a basic rule, darker water, darker bait, lighter water, lighter bait. That's a good general rule, but that does not always apply. So we've been catching fish on that black with the chartreuse tail in clear water for the last 3 days, but the sun's been down. So it's not just the water color, it's also sunlight penetration. So I think the darker it is, be it water color and or light conditions, as those get darker, darker baits work. As they get lighter, lighter baits work. That is a really good general rule of thumb. Okay. Mitch says, so generally this time of year, start with slow drop rate plastics. Absolutely. These fish are not very aggressive right now. So the slower you can drop, the better. And then when they do get aggressive, you're still on it, right? But you know, another couple of weeks, you know, usually about the 1st of May, I'll start one or two guys with the worm and get a real quick drop. And once that starts going, then it's just Katie bar the door. You want to be on the Detroit River then. But right now, Mitch, yes, definitely slower drop rates. Jerk minnows, disc worms, maybe paddle tails, without question. Ron, I use Sunline Plasma Braid 12-pound test in bright green is what I use. Mike says he got several today. Clean water, midday on the blue, gray bottom jerk minnow. That has been good. I can't remember what we call that, but it's kind of a smelt color. It's kind of a clearish gray on the bottom with a really light blue top. I grabbed that one twice, Mike, and never put it on. So, great call for your color there in, the water we had mid river where that clean water was. Great call on that, buddy. Good adjustment. I can't believe you weren't fishing. You came off the camo disc worm, but there's a guy, Mike, who loves camo disc wormers, but the conditions weren't right for his favorite, made a great switch and caught some fish. So Great, great, great lesson there. Okay, anything else? We'll take one more question on this, then we're going to take a... All right, let's do this. Let's wrap this up for plastics. You guys know how to get a hold of us, teachingfishing@gmail.com. If you got any more questions, you can always go to the Teaching Fishing Educational Forum where you are right now. Ask us a question on Facebook and we'll get with you. But let's take just a few seconds now. Let's take a... They're on their way, Adam. They are on their way. I promise you. Let's take a quick little break right now and we will be back in just a second for tonight's fun topic. I got something fun I want to talk to you guys about. Let's take a quick little break and we'll be right back.
Just the facts.
It's a fact that vertical jigging is a great way to catch spring walleyes in rivers, and adding a stinger hook can up your catch rate every day. I like stinger hooks that are fairly short, about 4 inches long, tied with small treble hooks, size 10 or size 8, and are tied on heavy monofilament line, size 14 or 17, my favorite. And I like stinger hooks that attach with a loop. This loop goes over the hook of the jig and pulls tight, keeping it tight and hanging back to the back of the lure. Quick little tip, leave the stinger hook hanging. Don't put it in your plastic. That way it's the lightest part of the presentation, and those early spring fish in cold water that really don't want to bite are going to get that stinger hook in the tip of their nose, and you're going to catch more fish this spring when you're vertical jigging.
Just the facts.
I think the big thing to take just from that is that you leave that stinger hook hanging free. It's been a huge part of what we're doing. A lot of fish on the stinger hook early in the day, just about every day. Today specifically, a lot of stinger hook fish. And then once the bite got rolling in that darker water, it was a lot of jig hooked fish. But keep that stinger hook on, guys. Keep it hanging. Keep it back there. Keep it on, you know, fairly heavy mono so it hangs stiff. I like size 10s. Have at it. Use a stinger hook. All right. So the last couple of days, well, I shouldn't even say the last couple of days. Seems like since I've, been in Detroit, the weather has been, in a word, crappy. Actually, that's a good day. It has been crappy. Lots of wind, lots of rain, snow, waves, all that stuff. So what I want to talk about tonight for kind of our discussion topic is I want to talk about which one of those weather conditions do you dislike the most? Wind or rain? Let's kind of go those two things. Precipitation or wind? I do not like the rain. I'd rather fish in 40-mile-hour wind with no rain than no wind and rain. There's something about rain, something about being wet, that ever since I fished, even as a tournament fisherman, it kind of mentally gets me off my game when I'm wet. I don't like to be wet. You know, I wear AFCO Hydronaut suit, awesome suit, but there's no way you're going to stay completely dry. I don't care what you buy. The best suit in the world, if you get enough rain, especially if it's mixed in with a little bit of wind, you're going to get some moisture. You're going to get a little bit of wet. The whole boat's wet. Storage compartments get wet. Everything you have laying on the dash gets wet. You got to put everything away. I absolutely hate rain. Rain gets me off of my game mentally. Wind I can deal with. I don't like wind, but I can control my boat in the wind and do what I need to do in the wind, usually swearing under my breath most of the time when it's really windy. Wind up to about 15 is pretty easy. Actually today, if you guys are on the river today, we had no wind for a little bit. And I said, man, I like a little bit of wind to drive against, right? It helps me stay vertical. When there's no wind, you really can't stay vertical because any thrust you have is too much, right? So I like a little bit of wind. You know, 8, 10, maybe even 12 miles an hour is good. 15 gets a little hairy. You get above 15, it's windy. But I would much rather, personally, Lance Valentine, I would much rather deal with wind than rain. I do not like rain. I actually enjoyed the snow more than I enjoyed the rain. I don't like the rain. So what about you guys? Is it wind or rain that drives you the baddiest, kind of gets you off your game a little bit? I see a couple guys. Roy says wind. Randy says wind. Mike says the weather's been pitiful. Yeah, pitiful on a good day. Mark says he doesn't like the rain. Yeah, that's my thing. Dennis says Aquarius doesn't like to get wet either. That's kind of funny. Arlo says he hates big waves from the wind. Tommy says typically avoid rain, but watch the wind. Mitch says cold rain. Danny Campbell says wind, it wears on you. Joe says don't like the rain when it's cold. High south winds can be brutal. Yeah, direction with the wind, direction is just as much as speed. George says rain is a pain. Tom says wind because small boat keeps me off the water. There's another vote for wind. Ray says the same thing. Wind keeps him off the water. I know he's got a little bit smaller boat. Dave says, doesn't like the rain. He stays home if it's raining. Hal says, hail is no fun. Hail is definitely not fun. We had snowflakes, whatever night it was. The days are all running together. And the snowflakes were so big, you could actually hear them hit your coat. You could actually hear them hit the windshield. So I think that was Friday. Was it Friday? I don't know. Roy says, wind affects how you set up on structure and can screw up the pattern. Now, that's a good point, Roy. Get away from the great point, Roy. Get away from the boat control piece of it, right? Wind can actually move your fish you may have a pattern going for 2 or 3 days and the wind changes either direction and or speed, and it can completely change your pattern. It's not so much on the river, but Roy's right about lakes, especially the guys that are casting structure and, you know, shiver minnows and that type of thing. That wind turn 10, 15 degrees or go up or down 5, 6 miles an hour, it can completely change your pattern. Great point, Roy. I've been on the river so long, I forgot about that. But yeah, wind can definitely destroy your pattern. Jason says rain is the worst. You're right. I don't like rain. Dave says wind because boat control is still a challenge. Do I need a Canadian license for next Thursday's charter? Yes, I would tell you to buy a Canadian license. Even if we have to stay on our side to get our limit, we will do that and then head over to the Canadian side and try to get a couple big fatties. So yes, David, get Canadian licenses. I would tell you, if you're watching, you got a charter with me this year, buy a Canadian license and be ready to roll. So it looks like it's about 50-50 rain and wind. The boat control, I'm used to it. I take great pride in my boat control. I get a chance to do it every day. That's obviously is a huge advantage, right? But like I said, wind drives me. The thing I don't like about wind is when I'm on a charter and I'm trying to help customers, the boat goes wherever it wants to go. That's my biggest problem with wind. You come off the trolling motor. If I'm reeling a fish, come off the trolling motor and the wind, the boat just kind of goes wherever. That's my biggest issue with wind. I can control my boat and 25, 30. The other day we had gusts up to 42 and we were fishing. That doesn't bother me, but again, a little bit of rain just gets me off my deal. Mike says, I can deal with rain if it's at least 65 degrees and fishing is good. That's the warmth of the air and the quality of fishing definitely makes rain a little bit easier. I have a rule. I will not leave the dock if it's raining. If we leave the dock, it's not raining and it starts to rain a minute after we get on the lake, I'm okay. I just have a real hard time leaving the dock on purpose when it's raining. I don't like to leave the dock when it's raining. So if we get out there and it starts to rain, that's okay. But leaving the dock, it's kind of like, what are we doing? Royce is going to put on his calendar that I said he had a good point. Write it down, Roy. You're going to have it on video. You're going to have proof. It's going to be out there on the internet for everybody to hear. But you did have a great point. Fantastic point. So there you go. Anybody else want to chime in on wind or rain? So this is funny. Chris says wind affects the ability to detect the casting bites. I would tell you that wind would probably bother me more. I've been on the river for 2 weeks and I'm in river mode, but you're right. Wind would probably bothers me more on the lake than rain does, because wind does affect even my trolling bite. These guys are talking about fishing pieces of structure and now you've got a big bow in your line. The guys I stay with in Detroit, they cast a lot and they had a really tough time yesterday because casting, they couldn't get the bow out of their line. There was too big of a bow in their line to actually feel anything. So Chris is right? If you're on the lake, wind or you're casting, wind can really mess you up more than the rain can. So that's a really, appreciate that, guys, because that's kind of a really a different caveat, right? Conditions are the same. and then let's say wind's not going to affect your fishing, I would probably say I'll take wind over rain. But thinking about it, now you guys have brought it up, Roy and Chris, if I'm on the lake, I probably would rather have rain than wind, because wind can ruin my pattern or my ability to do what I'm doing a lot faster than rain can. That went somewhere I wasn't expecting it to go tonight. So awesome. Yeah, that's a great point. Great point. Mark says, hi, Mark. Good to see you again. He says he loves a light rain, less boats, unless it's Saturday on the Detroit River in April or May. And there's all kinds. But boy, last Saturday, holy moly, the Saturday before Easter, I've been fishing Detroit River since 1997. So let's call it 25 years. I have never, ever in my life ever seen that many boats on the Detroit River, ever, as there was Saturday before Easter. It was crazy. Too many boats, if you want my opinion, but that is what it is. All right, anybody else want to chime in on the wind and rain? I like that we went a little different direction. That's cool. I like that. You guys are thinking. And everybody's got a different perspective. Again, I'm in river mode, so I'm thinking I can control the boat and the wind. I just don't like the rain, but the lake thing has got me thinking. And we're going to talk about wind, I think, next month in Teach and Fish at Anglers Club, when we talk about casting for walleyes. We're going to talk about what Roy talked about, fish, you know, wind moving fish on structure, what Chris talked about, detecting casting bites. So that's all coming up in the Teach and Fish at Anglers Club next month, when we talk about casting for walleye. That's going to be part of our conversation. So we'll dig deeper into that in the Anglers Club next month. And if you're not a member, teachandfishing.com, click on the Members Club, and there's click on join. It'll give you all the benefits and everything that we do, and give you the ability to join that. If you, no matter when you join, you have access to all of our content this year. So just because you join in April or May, you still have content to everything we did, and access to everything we did January, February, and March. So. Arlo says, nothing like casting vibes with your braid going up in the air on the cast, because water is warmer than the air. Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea. I've done that once in actually a thunderstorm that was coming. I actually cast a jig out and it literally suspended above the water. And then about 30 seconds later, we had a crack of lightning that scared the crap out of you. And that was not a good idea. But yeah, that's a cool take on wind. All right. Like I said, I'm in river mode right now. And I like that. You're making this old fat guy think. Kevin Davis says wind for him, especially when it creates currents that throw my boards off. That's another part of it on the lake. Al says wind, rain, or snow on Quinty in December has many putting up full canopies and using Mr. Buddy heaters. Wow, geez. You know, I said I'd never have a top on my boat. Now I got the pontoon with a big top, so I probably shouldn't say I'll never have a heater in my boat, because I think that's not too far away. As I get older, I think I get smarter. So there you go. Wind, right? Yeah. I can't imagine, you know, yuck. We've had a couple bad days on the river. If you've been on the river the last couple days or watched the weather, we've had a couple days where it was just, you know, the other day was snow and 25 mile an hour wind. And it was really funny on, I don't even know what day it is. What's today? Today's Wednesday. So yesterday morning, we had a southwest 10 to 15. That was our steady wind. So it was literally southwest. I'm kind of pointed downriver. And the gusts were up to 35 straight west. So you'd get a gust, you'd have to turn the boat straight west, and the gust would stop. And if you stayed straight west, the boat would go up current. So you had to kind of pull back into the constant wind that was southwest. It was really weird. Have you ever jigged Erie or Lake St. Clair this time of year? Maybe right tomorrow? I have not. That's something I don't do. The closest I've gotten, Jason, is the Detroit River, right where Lake St. Clair dumps in. I have fished there, and that can be great fishing. But I've jigged Erie one time years and years and years ago. Honestly, didn't know what I was doing. So, you know, we caught a few fish, but really didn't know what we were doing. This, I mean, I'm talking 30 years ago. No, I've never done that. Something I just don't do. Bruce says this weekend is shaping up real good. Can't wait to head out. Plan on running some bottom bouncers. When the water temperature goes to 48 or 50, you're gonna have to wait a little bit. It was about 43 today. And it's supposed to stay cold overnight, even You know, we got one day, I think a high of 73 for about an hour. I think the morning starts out at 38 that morning. So that's not enough warmth to really warm the water. So we got quite a ways, quite a little bit of time before we get to 50 degrees for sure. Jim says you do have a heater, your heated jacket. I tell you what, the MVP, I got four MVPs of the last couple days. Number one is my Milwaukee heated electric vest. Buy one. If you don't have one, buy one. Just go buy one. That's been number one MVP the last couple days. Second has been my Irish Setter boots. We've talked about those before. It is so nice to wear a pair of alpaca socks. I'll put those together. Alpaca socks and my Irish Setter boots. Keep your feet warm, no matter how cold, no matter how crappy the weather is. That's MVP number two, my alpaca socks and my Irish Setter boots. Number three is my AFCO Reaper hoodie. So today, it was 39 degrees when we headed out, no wind. I had on my heated Milwaukee vest and my Reaper. That was it. Had no jacket on. That Reaper just, it keeps the heat in. It kind of cuts the wind. You've got the face thing. You got the hood. I can't imagine fishing without my AFCO Reaper. I absolutely love it. And then last, obviously, is my AFCO rain gear, the Hydronaut suit. You know, keeps you dry, keeps the fish slime off, keeps the wind out. So those four things, you know, it's good to have the right rod, the right reel, all that stuff. If you're gonna go to Detroit, especially the last couple days, those are my four MVPs. So there you go. Matt, our good friend from Slow Trolling LLC, congratulations, cashed a check, fourth place. A little over 62 pounds for 2 days in the Rossford Walleye Roundup. Good job, Matt. Congratulations to you. Jimmy says, water temperature Saginaw Bay, 36 and a half all weekend. Matt says he loves his Reaper. Mike asked a great question. We're going to kind of wrap up tonight with this question because I think it's a great question. Is this the coldest river water temps you've seen at April 20th? It is actually, no. It's actually the second coldest I've seen consistently. I can't remember what year it was. It was like 2012 or 2013. We had really, really cold April. But this is really, really close. So yeah, you know, for all intents and purposes, yeah, it's the coldest I've seen. I will tell you this for sure about this April. It is the windiest April we've ever had. We have had more wind, higher wind, and more high winds for longer than we've ever had in any April I've been on the river. It is the windiest April we've ever had as far as my records tell me. So, you know, if you like wind and snow and rain, it's been a great year. Fishing's been good. That's the saving grace, but the fishing has definitely been good. So there you go, global warming. Yeah. 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 Whatever. That's another conversation for somebody smarter than me. The wind sucks. It does. I swear under my breath at the wind every day, but like I said, I would rather deal with wind than rain on the river. I would have to rethink that in the lake, and we will discuss that in Teaching Fish and Anglers Club next month. So there you go. All right, that's it for tonight. Thank you guys for joining me. Thanks for finding us tonight. Again, we're going to be Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. until the end of May. That's where we're going to be. It just works out the schedule. So we wanted to continue to do this. We wanted to continue to do this quality. I hope you guys appreciate all the work that goes on behind the scenes to make this look as good as it looks. We wanted to keep that standard up. The only way we could do that was for me to come home and do it from the office. So I will be at golf Wednesday night, and I'll be here at 9 o'clock on Wednesdays to continue Coffee Hour Plus. Love talking to you guys. I really, really do. When I'm done here, I'm going to head in the office. I'm going to shoot the fishing report video from today, get that up, and then I'm going to bed. So I pulled the plug on tomorrow. They're talking 45 mile an hour gusts straight up the river. So you know how bad that is. It does not, Matt. You have to get an external water temperature. So we pulled the plug. So I'm going to be home a little bit in the morning tomorrow. So it'll be nice to get a little bit of extra sleep and kind of go from there. So, all right, guys, thanks for your time tonight. Remember, teachingfishing.com. Check out the public lounge. Check out all the videos we got. Check out the YouTube channel. If you're not a member, check out teachingfishing.com. Click on the members. I think you might want to be a member. We've got some really, really great stuff on the members only Teach Fish and Anglers Club. Excited about what's coming up. So, all right, guys, thanks for your time. I appreciate it. I'll see you back here every night with a fishing report on Lance Valentine Sport Fishing. We'll be back here next Wednesday, 9 p.m. for Coffee Hour Plus. Thanks for your time tonight, guys. Be safe. Wear your PFDs. Get out there and go fishing. We'll talk to you guys.